If you have your Bibles, go to 1 Peter chapter 1. We got it right. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Everybody there? And the word says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if needed be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes through it, is tested, but though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Father God, I come to you this morning and Lord, we praise you. We honor you. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house this morning, Lord. And God, just ask you to speak through me to your people, Lord God. Let me stand back and get out of the way, Lord God. And Father, thank you for your mercy, for your love, and for your grace this morning, Lord God, that you've given each and every one of us, Lord God, that have called on you. And Lord, I pray for one here that doesn't know you, Lord God, that they find their way to you today, Lord God. And Father, if there's one here that's sick, Lord God, I pray that you touch them, Lord God. And Father, I pray that we as your people, Lord God, would pray, Lord God, for this country, for this world, Lord God, for the peace of Israel, Lord God. And God, that we would read your word daily, Lord God, and grow closer to you, Lord God, and your power. In your precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Y'all bear with me if I lose my voice this morning. I thank the one who called me to come up here to take care of it. Amen. The first, in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter is writing to the church. I mean, Paul is writing to the church. Peter's writing to the church. I'll get it straight in a minute. And he is, in the very beginning, he calls them pilgrims because this is some of the first churches that were started out. But he wants to relate to them the genuineness of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has laid up for us in glory. And the first thing that he says, and you know the scripture, Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." The first thing in chapter 3, the first word is, "Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ." And to me, that speaks loudly that a lot of times in we come to church, and not saying this church, but there's a lot of churches and a lot of religions in the world today that they come to church and they go through the whole service and leave God out, leave the Lord out. They read the scripture, but Peter, and he is writing this back to the church. And he is telling them that this is the things that you need to do. And he has never been to this church. He has never even laid eyes on these people. He says if you read 1 Peter. But he is telling them what they need to do. And the first thing we need to do is bless, praise God. That's something don't go on much no more. We have got to praise God. We got to lift them up in prayer and song as I said a couple weeks ago in the revival, or last week in the revival, or whatever it was, we got to lift Jesus up. We cannot come to church down and out and worried about everything that's going to happen next week and things that may be going on in your life. What we need to do is come to church and realize that we're here because of Jesus Christ, because of God the Father, and God has sent us here. And he tells us, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." the first thing we need to do is praise God this morning that we're alive, that we are here because of Jesus Christ and only because of Him. And it is only by Him and through Him that you and I will, excuse me, will be able to make it to heaven. It is by His grace and by His mercy and by His love. There's nothing that you and I can do but accept that. So it says, Blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy, talk about the abundant. There's a lot of oil in the earth around this, around the globe, around the world. There's a lot of gold. There's a lot of silver. There's a lot of minerals. There's a lot of things that is in abundance. But, and think about the ocean, the vast waters. How much water is in the ocean? How much water is on the surface of the earth? God's mercy, His abundant grace and mercy, is more than anything. It says, the word says, according to His abundant mercy. That means that we're not, when you ask God to forgive you of a sin, you're not asking a God that cannot save you from your sin. Because no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter what's going on in your life, it is by His mercy and His grace, His abundant mercy, lots of it. Lots of it. He is full of mercy and grace. He don't run out of it. He forgives you, and when He forgives you, you're forgiven. He says, the Word says, according to His abundant grace and mercy, has begotten us to a living hope. You see, I think of Thessalonians that I use at a lot of funerals. Said, we don't have to be sad like the rest of the people are, because we have a hope that one day we're going to step into paradise, into heaven, and we've got that blessed hope. Again, that blessed hope that God is going to be there and everything's going to be perfect. There won't be any more death. There won't be any more heartache. There won't be any more sorrow. There won't be bronchitis. There won't be flu. There won't be the AIDS virus, the coronavirus, all the things that's going on in our world. That will not be because of God's abundant mercy and love and grace for His people. Because He loved us enough to die for us on that cross at Calvary. And we got to believe and understand that when He went to that cross, He took that sin to that cross with Him, and He died for our sin by His mercy and grace, and it is done. And what we have to do is believe that God went through that process for you and I. And again, His abundant mercy, abundantly. His mercy, His grace, His love is beyond anything that we can. You think of the biggest mountain range in the world, the deepest ocean in the world, His grace and His mercy and His love, and that's what we need to understand, is vast, more than anything we can't even imagine. The Bible says we can't imagine what it says. Ear is not heard, eye is not seen what God has stored up for us in heaven. That's what He's talking about this morning. And we get to what? Verse 4. Wait a minute, before we go to verse 4, let me read it. His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is the reason that we can count on all the blessing, all the love, and the mercy that God, because Jesus Christ did go to that cross. Jesus Christ was beaten and tattered and torn and was killed on that cross. He went to that grave. He arose from that grave, and it is through the Word said, is His obedience, by Him doing what the Father wanted Him to do, we are saved. We are saved. We are saved by His of mercy and by His love through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus hadn't came out of that grave, we'd be in bad shape this morning. But we know without a doubt that He came from that grave, that he is in heaven sitting at the right hand of the Father. And I can't help believe that Jesus is like, I remember when I was a kid and they had the fair and rodeo in Cold Springs, the county fair. I worried Daddy and Mama death. Me and Reagan both did Every year, when can we go to the fair? When can we go to the fair? Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father and saying, Father, when can I go get them? When can I go get them? Well, he wants to come and get us. But the only reason he hadn't returned his earth because somebody out there is not saved. And he wants everybody to have the choice to receive him as their Lord and Savior. Now, let's talk about this next one. To an inheritance. An inheritance. And it says, an inheritance uncorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Don't say us there, it says for you. He wants you to know that inheritance is for you. It is for your love and for your mercy. He went to that cross for you. And again, inheritance. What is inheritance? Inheritance is something that you receive. I looked up in the dictionary this week. No one will see what they said about it, but it says that it is money, it is land, it is wealth, it is something precious that somebody has saved up for you, and that you receive at the point of death. You know the difference in that inheritance and Jesus' inheritance the Spirit just gave? Jesus Christ, your mom and daddy, or if you inherited anything, they got to die before you can get it. Jesus Christ died and came to life and made it sure that we would get it when we passed away. We will step into heaven because he lived. I can face tomorrow. It is because of what Jesus went through on that cross at Calvary. He said, inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled. I probably should save this to them, but the Lord laid this on my heart. There's so many illustrations that I have used through the years that I know I've used a bunch of them here, and I've used this one here, I know. But I'm looking through my book of illustrations, which one of God pointed this out to me. Wasn't in the book. He just reminded me of this one I had forgotten. To kind of tell you about inheritance. It says it's uncorruptible, undefiled, does not fade away, reserved in heaven. Now, there was this young boy that was about 12 years old, wasn't even a teenager yet. His grandmother owned a mansion in New Orleans, Louisiana, and that mansion was loaded with all kind of gold, silver, pictures, paintings. And on this boy's 13th birthday, his daddy told him, when grandma dies, you will inherit everything that she has, including the house, and everything that she has is in that house in New Orleans. And so this boy, when he turned 13, he was told that, and when he I may have already messed up. My back up. He's 13. His daddy tells him this. And he says, when you're 21, your grandma has put it in a trust. And when you're 21, you will be able to do whatever you want to with all these things, with this house, with these paintings, with the gold, with the silver, with everything that your grandma had. And so this boy decided that I don't have to live no more. I don't have to do anything. I don't even have to go to school no more because when I reach the age of 21, I'm going to have it made the rest of my life. Well, he was in and out of trouble. But right before he turned 21, he straightened up, started doing right because he knew he was fixed to inherit his grandma's house and all the wealth that she had. On the night of his 21st birthday, he received a telephone call from a fire captain in New Orleans, Louisiana, and told him, are you so-and-so? He said, yes, sir. He said, you need to get downtown to the house of your grandmother's because it's on fire. He pulls up to the house, and the red lights are flashing, the police cars, the fire trucks, water hoses everywhere. And the house is burning down. When it was over with, he didn't have nothing. It was gone. Completely destroyed. You see, we can put our trust and our faith and our hope and money and land and houses in everything's world, and it will decay, it will destroy, gold will tarnish, silver and gold will return to the ground, houses will burn down, cars will burn up, land even burn up. But let me tell you something. Jesus said that he has an inheritance that is ours, that is incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. For you. And you don't have to worry about it. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become a child of the King. And believe me, you know, I heard something on the radio yesterday. I listened to Christian radio singing on Sirius radio. And they were talking. This one singer was talking about he got pulled over in Nashville, and he was speeding. And this cop got kind of smart with him. He told him, he said, "Boy, you don't know who I am." He said, "My daddy is the police chief." And he said he kind of wanted to get mad. He said, "You know what?" He said, "Boy, you don't know who I am. My daddy owns the whole everything. My daddy is Lord Jesus Christ. He owns it all." Hallelujah. You know, it don't make any difference what we have on this earth. It don't make any difference who you are. What makes a difference is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And do you know that he has reserved for you? And he don't. You know, a lot of places in the Bible it says for us, it says for his people. He says right here, and it just, Lord want me to point this out. I've already said it three times. That is reserved for you. That's what he wants to say. When you look at that cross, and we talk about this cross and Easter time and all the things, think about Jesus going to that cross. You know why he wants that cross? For you. When you realize that Jesus Christ went to that cross for you, it makes a difference. He went through all he went through for you. And again, it is by his grace, it is by his mercy, and he has it for you. Look at verse 5. Who are kept? They talk about the inheritance reserved in heaven for you, that is kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed on the last day. People, when we meet Jesus Christ, he is going to say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." All the sickness, all the death, all the heartache, all the sorrow, all the scraping and working and trying to make a living, and all the things that we have to, you know, that you turn on the news, ain't nothing but junk. All the bad news we get, we don't have to worry about that because we have a hope. We have hope in Jesus Christ. We put our faith in Jesus Christ that one day we are going to step into paradise. Can you imagine?
No.
We can't even imagine. You know, there's a song, "I Can Only Imagine." You can only imagine. I thought about our friend yesterday. I was reading a note that she wrote me. It was in my Bible that passed away a couple of weeks ago. And I said, "Barbara, I can't imagine where she's at now." We can't even imagine, people. Do we realize what God has went through for you and I, and what we should be doing is trying to, you know, people get new cars, they get new houses, they get new clothes, they want to show people what you, but we fail to show people the most important thing that ever be in their life, and that is salvation, that the Lord Jesus Christ has died for them, and it don't make any difference who you are, where you've been, or what you've done. He is going to bring you home if you just say, "Lord, forgive me." That's all you got to do. "Lord, forgive me," and accept him and believe that he is Christ. It is, you know, Romans 10:9-10 says it. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that, and you shall be saved. That you shall be saved, and you have that inheritance then. Let me tell you something. Y'all think it. Jonah told me not to say this a lot of time, but I say it anyway. But you don't know how many times in this church that I have been called, just got through with a deal, to meet with a family, with a lawyer, about somebody that has died and left the inheritance, and all the kids are fighting over. One kid won't sign this, one kid. And they expect the preacher to try to convince them kids that they need to sign this. That's an awkward situation. Lord, you know, you put me in a lot of situations, but they're going to think if I try to, you know, I try to tell these kids in Arkansas that I don't even know you need to sign this paper where these kids in California can sell your daddy's house. It's a mess. We don't have to worry about that. When your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, glory to God, you don't have to worry about that. There's not going to be no argument. You ain't going to need no lawyer. Jesus said that it is stored in heaven, and it's not going to perish. It's not going to rust. It's not going to be destroyed. And it's kept by the power. The power of God through faith. That's what it says. Our inheritance, if you have accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, is kept by the power of the Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ, that He died, that He arose from the grave. It's kept. Don't worry about it. He said, that's done. You hear somebody worrying about their salvation, you need to tell them about Jesus because they hadn't met Him. You don't have to worry about your salvation. You don't have to, again, you don't have to meet with a bunch of lawyers. I said it a million. You don't have to go to class to learn how to get baptized or learn how to go to church. You just accept Jesus Christ and you be baptized and you are a child of the King. That, and nothing can take it away from it. The Bible says that, you know, nothing, not nothing can take it away from it. So, it'll be revealed to us in the last time. In the last time. Verse 6. In this, you greatly rejoice. That's what I want to talk about a little bit this morning. Are you happy this morning? Are you happy that you are in church, that you are saved, that you are well, that you are healed, that you are okay? Are you happy about that this morning? We need to be. We need to be the happiest people in the world, because I've already said, and I'll continue to say it, everything else in this world, everything that they put there, you know, like the Super Bowl trophies, the Super Bowl rings, the World Series rings, all the stuff that you can get in this world, there's only one thing, and that's Jesus Christ is going to last for eternity. And He tells us, in this you, not only, and He begins out, blessed be to God, and He said, In this inheritance, you greatly rejoice. How do we greatly rejoice? That means when we come to church or when we read the Bible, you look forward to doing it and you want to do it and it fills you with joy to do it. Brother Charlie challenged his Sunday school class, I don't know how many of them done it last week, to read Colossians. He told them to read the little book of Colossians every day. He told me about it last Sunday, and I've read it every day. Some days I read it twice. And I want to tell you something, people. I read the Bible all the time, but I read to prepare for sermons or with my Bible study. Let me tell you something. You're missing a joy and a peace and a comfort in your life if you don't just take this book and go to James or Peter and just read the story. Because God has given this, reading Colossians, and Colossians says, and I said, thank God I'm doing something right. Colossians says that His word be read in the service. And that we honor His words. That's the reason I asked y'all to stand in honor of reading of God's word. Because the Bible tells us to. And Paul tells them in Colossians to read it to the congregation, the whole book. Let me tell you something. If you want joy, if you want peace, if you want that blessed assurance in your life, get in this right here. So many people don't. So many people depend on me, depend on the Sunday school teacher, depend on the TV preacher to read it to them. And nowadays it's so easy. I started looking for my cell phone. All you got to do is get the Bible app and punch it. You can read it anywhere. When I was in the doctor's office the other day, I read Colossians two times waiting to get in to see the doctor. There's no excuse for us not reading God's word. There's no excuse. And by that we grow. And that's how, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if you need be, you have been grieved by various trials. We're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulations. We're going to have, but to God, these things that we go through is just bumps in the road. It's not going to, even if it takes our life, we're going to be with Jesus. Verse 7 says that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory and revelation of Jesus and the revelation of Jesus Christ. That the genuineness of your faith, is your faith genuine? Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has saved you? Do you know that you're going to heaven this morning? Do you know that He has your life in control? Do you know that He wants you to do something that you're not doing? He wants to bless you through whatever He's asking you to do. When will you do it? How long will we wait? The genuineness, the blessedness. It's amazing what God's Word says. And over in verse 25, I'll read one verse to you. Verse 25 and verse 1. But the Word of God endures forever. This inheritance, this genuineness, this love, this mercy, this grace, this abundant life, this hope that we have is not fake. It is genuine. Through what? Through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who arose from that grave. And it don't make any difference what no politician says. It don't make any difference what this world decides that we're going to do, or how many countries run this world, or how many countries at war. The thing that matters this morning, do you know, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and that no matter what, you're saved, and that His Word endures forever and ever and ever. Do you believe that? Do you believe that His Word will endure forever? God wants us to, He says, verse 25, going up, read the rest of it, He says, now this is the Word which by the gospel was preached to you. And to me that says, this is the Word that was preached to you. This is the truth that was preached to you. And there ain't no excuse. That's what it is. There ain't no excuse. Why? You know, we as Christians, a lot of time, I remember when, the reason that I got out of church for a long time was because I didn't know this. I didn't understand this. I decided that, hey, this gospel, I can't do that, so why in the heck, why do I want to try to live like this? I know I'm not going to be perfect. Why? And finally one day I realized that, hey, it's just like in verse 3 it says that this, let me read the whole thing. Blessed is the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is by His love. It is by His mercy. It is by His grace. It ain't by nothing that I can do. Nothing. It don't make any difference. I've been preaching 40-something years now, and it don't make any difference. He loves you just as much as He loves me. If you hadn't been saved this morning, you get the same thing that I get just by calling on His name. Abundant mercy, abundant love, abundant life, inheritance. But you know what, God? What the devil wants us to do? I was reading a little book I got at the house, Billy Graham. I read a lot of this stuff. And he was talking about 1 Peter here. And he said, Satan loves to take what's beautiful and ruin it. That's what he wants to do. He wants to take a life, an inheritance that he has planned, that God has planned for you, and ruin it. Listen to the other part. God loves to take what's ruined and make it beautiful. Satan likes to destroy it. God likes to restore it. And that is all you got to do. Yeah, Satan loves to take away what God... But you see, we're being fooled because he can't take it away. He can't... All them years that I was trying to be a Christian and struggling, decided I couldn't do it, just got out of church about 6 years, because I thought I had to do it. The only thing I have to do, the only thing you have to do, is confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And it's by, again, the Word says that it is by His hope. It is by, it says, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that not will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed to you by the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Let me read verse 2. What did I read? Verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. It is by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is by His love, by His mercy, and by His grace. And how long are we going to have to take to believe that? And the devil likes to tell you, you're not no good. I mean, you just make one little mistake, and the devil likes to tell you, you're not no good. You, sir, yeah, yeah. He wants you to think that you can be happy through him. All the devil wants you to do, young people, is take a shot of dope or drink a bottle of alcohol and get crazy where he can control you. But he can't do that, because all you got to do is ask God to forgive you and live for him and read God's word. Heard Jimmy Swagger say one time, and this is so true, that talking about God and his mercy and his grace and his love, he said the devil can have you down on your back with his foot on your throat and his necktie in his hand choking, and all you got to do is say Jesus. That's how simple it is. Just Jesus, forgive me, help me, and he'll get you right up there. He'll dust you off. He'll set you to run off in the road and get stuck. Call him. He'll get you out of the mess. And the thing about it is, he will continue. His love is abundant. We've already said it. His love is abundant. His mercy and his grace is abundant. And he will continue to reach down and to get you. Why? Because you are his child. And you that's got these precious babies and children around here, that's what we are to God. He said, blessed be the little children. He's talking about his little children. He's talking about you and I. We're babies to him. And he wants his babies to come home. And he's sitting there right now. Just like you were sitting there the first day that your child drove off in the car by herself and went out for a night on the town by herself, and you sat right there and you waited and you prayed, Lord, let them get home. And that's what he does. He intercedes for you and I. He goes to the Father and intercedes for us because he wants us to come home. Do you know him this morning? Let's stand as Sister Ruth comes to the piano. Father God, I come to you this morning. And Lord, I don't know anything else to say about your mercy and your grace and your love. And God, that you have an inheritance, Lord God, that is stored for us, that is reserved for us, Lord, by the power of the Spirit, by the blood of sanctification, Lord God. And Father, help us to understand, God. God, help us not to put our faith and our hope and our trust in anything in this world. God, because we know that we live in a world right now, God, and you said in the last days that all these things are going to happen, Lord God. We live in a world today where we can wake up any morning and that money in our pocket and our bank accounts won't be worth nothing. And then all we're going to have is you. God, I know you're looking for soldiers this morning, God. God, you're looking for people that would give their life to you. And realize, God, and that realize that you're all it is. And God, I give you the praise, give you the honor. I pray, God, if there's one here, God, that doesn't know you, that, God, they would come down this aisle right now, Lord God, and get on their knees before you, Lord, and just ask you to come into their life and ask you to forgive them their sin and believe that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God, trust you. And God, by that faith, that we just have to have faith in you and trust you, Lord God. And the only way we can do that is you move into our heart. And Father, I pray that you move into the hearts of your people right now. In your precious name we pray. Thank you, Jesus.